Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. Beginning with verse 21, it says, when Jesus left there, he withdrew to the area of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22, just then a Canaanite woman from that region came and kept crying out, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon. Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples approached him and urged him, send her away because she's crying out after us. Verse 24, he replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came, knelt before him, and said, Lord, help me. He answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was healed. Like I said, again, there's a lot in that passage. One of the things that stands out that we're probably not going to get to during the sermon is the fact that he called her woman. And again, if we've talked about this before, that was a term of respect in Jesus' time. And kind of like us using ma'am today, ma'am. You have a great faith. That's really, in essence, what Jesus was saying there. I don't know about you, but I like being surprised. I like things that surprise me. I like being shocked. I like twists in movies. You watch movies and you have that twist. I love that kind of stuff. I love reading things that completely blow me away. And that's why usually on Sunday mornings when we have the announcements, I put up there the things, did you know? Because I like reading those kinds of things. There's all kinds of stuff out there, a lot of misinformation. So I try to make sure these things are true before they go on the screen and try to make sure that is. But I don't know if you caught the ones today. Some of these things really intrigued me here this morning. I wanted to go through these again. I think I did not know this. I guess we should know this, but man, it just kind of ruins that whole nursery rhyme for me now. You know, I mean, Humpty Dumpty is never mentioned as an egg, but we kind of assume that he was. I don't know why, but nowhere in that. Reed Hastings started Netflix. Netflix, as big as it is today, it was actually started because he got upset of having to pay a $40 late fee for Apollo 13, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Here's another one. I don't know why. This is completely useless, but I was so intrigued by this. Did you know that the word wizard, if you take the word wizard and you apply the opposite letter of the word wizard, it'll spell wizard backward. You know, like if you go A to Z, B to Y, W to X, or, you know, Z, X, right? No, not W, X, X to C. If you do that, you're going to spell it backwards. And I was just kind of intrigued by that, if you do that. But here's the one I was most intrigued by. Here's the one I was most shocked by. And again, I probably should have known this. For some reason, I'd forgotten this along the way. But did you know that over half the bones in your entire body are in two places, well, actually four places, but in your hands and your feet? And I was just, I'm kind of surprised by that. I'm blown away by that. So I want to share that with you today. There's another thing that I read this past week that I was surprised by. And the first time I read it, I remember being blown away by this. And maybe you were too when you read it for the first time. And it's still, when you read it today, it's still kind of shocking. It's still kind of surprising. And that is the fact that Jesus would call a woman a dog. But before he did that, it seems like it's even worse. He seemed to say, I don't have time for a Gentile woman. Look, I came for the people of Israel. I don't have time for a Gentile woman. And then he follows up by inferring that she's a dog. And now I know that if you read commentaries, if you read different statements about this passage, one of the things that they're quick to point out is this, that when Jesus said the word dog in the Greek, it meant puppy. I don't know about you, but that really doesn't help much, does it? I mean, Jesus wasn't calling her a dog. He's calling her a puppy, a little cute puppy. Oh, come on. You know, so still, I mean, it's kind of surprising. It's kind of shocking. It's not kind of. It overwhelmingly is, because we see this is really inconsistent with the other things that we see about Jesus. When Jesus had an opportunity to define himself, when he had an opportunity to describe himself, and he said, "I am gentle and human." I'm gentle and humble. There's two characteristics that he used. I'm gentle and humble. Well, this does not seem to be gentle, nor does it seem to be humble in what he's using here. And we caution people, whenever you're studying God's Word, always make sure you stick with the context. Always make sure you don't just take one verse out of the Bible, one passage out of the Bible, and just run with that. We've got to stay with the context. So in the big picture here, there's a lot more going on than what we see and read just at the beginning. And I want to tell you right up front, the main point of this entire passage is this. It's about having faith. You know what? As we look back at all the things that we've talked about with the things that Jesus said, the things that Jesus did over this past year, he's been talking about all through the Bible how to have a great faith. How to have a great faith. As a matter of fact, he sums it up here with this lady that he was talking to. He said, you know, ma'am, you have a great faith. You have a great faith. Well, what was it that caused her to have a great faith? Well, I want us to see that. There's four things here this morning that I want us to run through real quickly. We're going to have our invitation. After the invitation, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We're going to have communion time. But four things I want to look at real quickly of how we could have a great faith. The first thing that we need to do in order to have a great faith is turn to Jesus. I mean, if we want faith, it's got to begin right there with Jesus. And that's what we see that this lady did. The Bible says, just then a Canaanite woman from that region came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon." If you could put yourself in her shoes for just a moment, this is completely inappropriate. This is completely awkward. Talking about a socially unacceptable moment, this is it. It'd be kind of like this. Imagine I go to Frankfurt. And I want to hang out in Frankfurt. I'm going to do some Christmas shopping. I'm going to do eat at some restaurants. And I'm over there. I'm not over there to see anybody else. I'm just over there just to have a good time. But I go to Frankfurt. But on the night I go over there, Governor Matt Bevins is having a dinner for dignitaries. He's invited all these people. He's invited maybe even the presidents there. So all these people are there that night that I go. And I go out after I'm finished shopping. And I go out after I've finished eating. And I go to start my car. And my car is just completely dead. So imagine what it would be like if I looked around. I'm near the governor's mansion. I look around. I don't know where else to go to. So I walk into the governor's mansion. And I walk up to Governor Bevin. I say, "You know what? Can you give me a jump? I don't have any jumper cables. Do you happen to have some? Because I need a jump with my car." How socially unacceptable would that be? How inappropriate would something like that be? Well, that is the same thing that we're talking about here. She was a Gentile, and Gentiles didn't talk to Jews. She was a lady, and it was completely unacceptable during Jesus' time for ladies to talk to strangers. So what she is doing here is completely off the grid. But why is she doing it? She's doing it because she needs Jesus, and she recognizes that. She's heard of this Jewish rabbi who can do miracles, who can do wonderful things, and despite all the distractions that exist around her, all that she thinks about at that moment is, "I've got to have Jesus. I've just got to have Jesus." Let me tell you, a great faith always begins there. No matter where we are right now in our life, good times, bad times, it doesn't matter. A great faith always begins when we turn to Jesus. It continues on. There's something else that happens if we're going to have a great faith. If we're going to have a great faith, we need to be persistent, especially in times when Jesus is silent. Did you catch this? I want us to look at this here real quick. If you look at verse 23, the Bible says, after she had just said this, after she said, "Please have mercy on me," what is Jesus' response? In verse 23, it says, Jesus did not say a word to her. Jesus didn't say a word to her. I don't know about you, but I don't like closed doors. Are you that way? I mean, I see a closed door and I want it opened. And the only way I know to open a closed door, usually when I see a closed door, the first thing I do is knock. Lisa's going to think, what's going on out there? But the first thing I do is go to that door and knock. Sydney, our 10-year-old daughter, just like her sister before her, they love to be upstairs in the room, and they close the doors. I mean, Sydney will go upstairs in her room, and the first thing that she does is close that door. I'll go up to see Samuel and Sydney, and I see that door closed. There's a big blackboard on there, and it says, do not disturb, knock before you do it. So I go, to be courteous, I go up to the door, and I say, Sydney, you know, like in the Big Bang Theory where Sheldon and Penny, Sydney, Sydney. And Sydney goes, Dad, what do you want? I said, Sydney, I just want to come in. She said, no, Dad, I don't want you to come in. And so I keep knocking. I said, Sydney, can I please come in? And she said, all right, if you've got to come in. So finally, she lets me in. When I get in there, she says, okay, Dad, what is it you need? I say, I just want to come in for a kiss. You know? And she goes, oh, are you kidding me? But I don't get in there unless I keep knocking. That is a great lesson to our prayer life, because how many times have we brought something to God and say, God, man, I would really love to see this happen. I'd love to see my daughter healed. I'd love to see this happen at work. I would love to see this happen at school. We drop it there in God's lap. When it doesn't happen, when we don't hear an answer from God, what is the first thing we want to do? All right, I gave it my best shot. That's it. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, you've got to ask if you want to receive. You've got to seek if you want to find. You've got to knock if you want the door to be open to you. Don't give up. The second step to a great faith is persistence, especially when God is silent. There's a poem that I've known for some time. I can't tell you how many times it's come in handy when I felt like quitting. Do you feel like that today? Just feel like quitting? Well, this poem goes like this. I want to let go, but I won't let go. There are battles to fight by day and night for God in the right, and I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I'm sick, 'tis true, worried and blue, and worn through and through, but I won't let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. I will never yield. What? Lie down on the field and surrender my shield? No, I'll never let go. I want to let go, but I won't let go. May this be my song mid legions of wrong. Oh God, keep me strong that I may never let go. So the second step to a great faith is persistence. The third step to a great faith is worship. Worship, especially when you don't get the answer you expect. Have you ever gone? Of course you have. You've gone to God before and you said, God, boy, I would love to see this. And man, the answer was so, not only was it not what you were expecting, it was not what you were wanting. This is not how I saw this going when I asked you for this, God. This is not really what I wanted. What do you do when you pray to God for something, but it's not exactly what you were thinking? Well, let's look at what this lady did. The Bible says, send her away because she's crying out after us. So Jesus finally broke his silence here. In verse 24, he said this, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So again, essentially what he's saying here is this, look, I'm here for the Jews. You know, I don't really have time for the Gentiles right now. I'm here for the Jews. What do we do when we don't get the answer we were expecting? Well, what did she do? The Bible says in verse 25, but she came, knelt before him, and said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Last week we saw that Peter, he prayed a three-word prayer. Sometimes we feel like we got to pray these big, outlandish prayers in order to get God's attention. Last week Peter prayed a three-word prayer. This week, what do we see? We see another three-word prayer, and all she said was this, Lord, help me. She didn't say, Lord, did you hear what I said? I'm talking about my daughter here. She's being tormented by a demon. Are you up there? Are you anywhere? You're not hearing what I'm saying. She didn't say any of that. She said, Lord, help me. Help me. I just need your help. I don't know what else to do. But the thing of it is that she continued to worship God even when it wasn't the answer that she expected. If we're going to see a great faith, we need to worship God even when we get the answer that we never expected. there's one final thing that we need to do here, and that's this. We need to practice humility when we think we deserve better treatment. Oh my goodness. After she prayed this, Jesus' answers don't seem to get any better. Verse 26 says, he answered, "It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now again, that's an inference there. What he was saying was, look, if I came for the people of Israel, why would I want to take their food and give it to the dogs? And a lot of Jews felt like that's exactly what Gentiles were. They were dogs. So again, what would you say if you heard that? What would you say if you got that kind of answer? What would you do? I mean, you'd go, I'm completely insulted. Forget it. Forget I ask. I'm gone. I'm done. You know, you report it to the first person that you could report it to. I am just completely done. What we need to do is exactly what she did. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says, verse 27, "Yes, Lord," she said, "yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Even the dogs eat their crumbs. You know what she was saying? She was practicing humility. Because here's in effect what she was saying was, even a little bit of grace from you would fix this whole thing. This whole problem with my daughter, even if it was something left over, even if there was grace that just fell from somebody else, I know your grace would be more than enough. I know that your grace would be more than adequate. Yes, I'm worthless. I may not be worth it at all, but I know that your grace is worth it. So the last thing that we see here that she did was this. She practiced humility even when she got an answer that was completely insulting. How many times do we do that? How many times when we feel like, golly, God is just not out there? She practiced humility. I want to tell you here this morning that this whole passage, again, is about faith. Do not lose sight of the point of what this passage is about. It is about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to see God. He said she had a great faith. I'm here to say right now, we can do a lot of things without faith. Just think about all the things we can do without faith. There's a lot. I mean, we can go to school. We can get an education. We can graduate from school. We can go to college. We can graduate from college. We can get a job. We can get married. We can have children. We can make all kinds of money. We can retire and live a good life. A lot of times people say, you know, what all Christians talk about is just how bad things are, and if you're broken, then you need to be healed. Well, let's face it. You can have a great life and never have any faith. You can. You can have a great life and not have faith. But let me tell you something. You'll never see Jesus apart from faith. You'll never please God apart from faith. And if faith is what we're looking for, if faith is what it's going to take in order to have a life with Jesus, then that's what we need to do. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.